All right, we're going to take one more swipe at this tonight, and back in Genesis chapter 2 again. Going to hit it one more lick. I think there's this to talk about, and then we'll move on to something else. Been talking about male and female, that God created man, male and female. And there's a lot of reasons, and there's no way to cover them all in three messages and try to explain why God did it that way, but I don't think we have enough understanding to know all the reasons God did it that way. But God, in His wisdom and in His love and mercy, created man, male and female. It's a whole lot better that way, isn't it?
Yes.
Sure would be bad if it was some other way. If we were all the same, it wouldn't be near as interesting, would it?
No.
In so many ways. All right, let's read Genesis chapter 2. Let's read these four verses again, 21 through 25. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman. Wow. And brought her unto the man. And Adam said, "This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man." God could have just made the woman. He could have done the same as he did with Adam. He could have formed her out of the dust of the ground. But he didn't do that, because he's creating man. And man is male and female. And he called their name Adam, the Bible says. So there's two individuals, but they're one. In God's view, in God's sight, in God's plan. "Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall cleave unto the wife, and they shall be one flesh. And they were both naked, the man and his wife, and were not ashamed." All right. Lord, help us, I pray. Bless your word. Give us unction. Give us clarity of mind and strength to do this and say the things that will help us understand this important matter a little better. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. Now, first, let me try to hurry along here and not hold you too long. But God prepared Adam to have a wife and to be the head of the human race. And he did it in a short time. I believe the creation happened in 6 days. I don't believe 6,000 years. I don't believe a day is 1,000 years and it took thousands of years. I don't believe these days were symbolic or anything. Evening and the morning were the first day. Evening and the morning were the second day. 6 days, the Bible says, the Lord worked and did all this labor and did all this work. And on the seventh day, he rested. It's too clear. I mean, the Bible's full of it, that it in 6 days, God created everything. But the sixth day was man. And so, but you know, it's no miracle with God to cram a lot into a little bit of time. It's not out of reason to believe that all this happened in a day, but it did. God didn't create the woman immediately after he created the man. There was a period of time that passed and some important things that transpired in that time. We've read about that and the sequence of events here as God created in God's creation. It's obvious that Adam had to acquire some knowledge and understanding before putting another person in his life for him to live with and to care for and to protect and all of that. You see, this is a real important matter that we're talking about here tonight. God made Adam and he made Adam alone. He says it's not good for the man to be alone, but he was alone. Think about it. There was no other person on the earth. There was the fish in the sea and the birds in the air, and there was the beasts of the field and the creeping things and all of that, but there was no other person. There was God and there was all of this, but there was Adam alone. There was nobody else like him that lived on this planet with him. And so, it's an important thing. It was an important step whenever God put another person with this person. Made two. Two people getting along. Most of us here can't even remember when we weren't married. But it was a whole lot different when we were. One person by yourself is different than when two live together. I'm pretty sure that I'm on pretty trustworthy ground to say that after we got married and started living with another person, we've ran into some problems here and there. We had to relearn some things about how to live and get along, because two people in a house is different than one people in a house.
Yes.
And the same way on the earth. It's different when there's one person on the earth, and it changes the whole thing when there's two people. See, on the whole earth? Well, it's kind of that way. You know, I read a thing, and I've read it numerous times, so I'm assuming that it is true. But they said back in the days when the cars first came on the road, there were two cars in the state of Ohio, and they ran into each other and wrecked. So, you see, the earth may seem to be a big place, but how many times have you said it's a small world, isn't it? Because we've ran into people we knew in far, far away places where it was totally unexpected. So, the point is, God's fixing to set it up here with two people on the earth, with plans for many more. So they got to learn from the get-go how to get along with each other. And so God is preparing Adam for a helpmeet. And before God made the woman, Adam had the ability through language to communicate his thoughts and his feelings. Because, I won't jump ahead of myself. But there was no one but God that could understand his words. Who could he talk to? He knew how to talk. He knew how to express his thoughts and his feelings with words out of his mouth. But who was there to listen? The animals. Animals don't talk, y'all. In spite of what Disney has done for the last 75 years and trying to get everybody, or more than that, 80 years, 90 years, trying to get everybody to believe that they do, they don't. You can talk to them all day long. You can pretend they understand you, but let me assure you, they do not understand your language. They might understand commands but they're not under. You can't convey your thoughts to an animal. You can't share your heart with an animal. You can't talk about abstract things and truth with an animal. Adam was made in the image and likeness of God. That's mighty high. Yes. He's the only one, the Bible says, the Son of God. Adam begat Seth, and coming back up the way, and Adam, the Son of God. Seth, the son of Adam. Adam, the Son of God. Before God made the woman, he had put Adam in the garden and given him a job and a purpose. Remember what it was? He made a garden and he was to dress and keep it. Before God made the woman, he made all the animals to pass before Adam and Eve. Adam, I'm sorry, why did I say that? Because I've got written down here before Adam and Adam. Adam met, God, before he made the woman, he made all the animals to pass before Adam. Remember what for? So he could see what Adam would call him.
Yeah.
So Adam was talking. I mean, animals had to have a name. Adam gave them their names. God didn't. Adam did. And he didn't have anybody else to talk to. There's a tiger. There's a lion. There's a horse. There's a dog. But who was there to hear about all that? Just Adam. No wonder God said it's not good for the man to be alone. God, before God made the woman, he made himself known to Adam, so that Adam knew his superior. God talked with Adam in the cool of the day. Adam knew God, and he knew God was far his superior. Get that? And then before God made the woman, he instilled in Adam, before God made the woman, I'm getting my thoughts mixed up here. Before God made the woman, Adam was prepared to meet his equal. He met his creator, who was his superior. He met the animals, who were his inferiors. And he's being prepared to meet his equal. Different. And before God made the woman, he instilled in Adam his moral character. And this is a thing that's, you know, people get mixed up on trying to sort it out here, because they want to put it later when it's really right here. Moral character, which is the most important quality for a being who's going to have to live with and have dominion over other creatures. Yeah. Adam had dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, over the beast of the field, over all the earth. Adam had dominion. And the Bible says this: the God of Israel said, the rock of Israel spake to me, he that ruleth over men must be just, ruling in the fear of God. 2 Samuel 23:3. If a man's going to have dominion, he must be just. Mm-hmm. Must do it in righteousness. The king's throne is established in righteousness. He has to do right. Mm-hmm. He has to do right by everybody else. Mm-hmm. He's not the king so that he can have everything he wants at the expense of everybody else. This is moral law. It's the basis of moral law. Living together on this planet, we can't trample on one another. We can't trespass on one another. We have to treat one another in love and compassion and benevolence. Or it turns into what we see that it's turned into. Now, God is love, and he made Adam in his own image and likeness. So Adam's character toward any other being would have been love. Why was God going to create an helpmeet for Adam? For what? What's the main thing going to happen here? Adam's going to love her. That's what he made. God made her for Adam to love. Just like God made Adam for him to love. Mm-hmm. And it's to be, and love begets love. God loved Adam, so Adam loved God. Adam's going to get a helpmeet from God, and Adam's going to love his helpmeet, and his helpmeet's going to love him. That's the divine plan. Right. And that's the way God meant for it to be. And that's what God has in mind. There was no thought of thinking evil of one another or doing evil to another. Mm-hmm. Human, animal, any kind of being. Right. Adam met God. Adam met the animals. Now he's going to meet one like himself, but different. Mm-hmm. The command to not eat of the tree was given to Adam before Eve was made. Genesis 2:16-17, and the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die. Now who did God say that to? Adam. He told Adam. He said to the man, before Adam could have a wife, he had to learn to submit to God himself. So this is the moral law that God instilled in Adam before Eve was made. He had to recognize and submit to his rightful place in God's divine order. God is the Lord, and I am the man. What God says is right, because God loves me. God made me. He loves me. He wants what's best for me. So whatever He tells me is for my good. And God said, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat. All that you see is yours. Just one tree. Don't touch it. It had to be that way.
Yes.
Why does everybody, you know, the infidels and skeptics, they accuse God of injustice by doing that and being unfair. Why do you have to put that tree in there in the first place? Well, you don't understand what God's doing. That's why you would ask a question like that. Before anything else, you know, he had to recognize God as his creator and his Lord, and therefore as his superior. And that's the basis of morality. Submitting to God's rightful authority in our life. Anything else? You know, why is it that salvation and a new birth brings peace? Why did he say peace on earth, goodwill toward men? Because that's what happens to you when you are right with God. You have goodwill toward men.
Yes.
Charity is the rule of your life. Mm-hmm. You don't go around hating people and getting even with people and making sure everybody pays for everything. You know, goodwill. Goodwill. You don't want to fight. You don't want to hurt other people. You don't want to do anything wrong that would cost somebody else or hurt somebody else in any way. So anything else is simply an individual setting himself up as a little God and defining his own morals according to his own lust and imagination. If you don't just trust God and believe God about what he said about what we ought to do toward our fellow man. Adam had to learn that although he was given dominion over all the earth, he was not the lawgiver. He didn't have the right to make the rules. God gave him the rules, and they were very, very simple. There's right and there's wrong. It was not his to decide what was right or wrong, but to decide whether to obey or not. See, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. You ever thought a lot about that? You ever thought much about that? You know, all the pictures, all the Sunday school material, everywhere you look, all the movies and books that ever written about it, it's an apple. She ate the apple. Well, I don't know where in the world that ever came from, but most people believe that it's an apple and it was the fruit is what did it. No, it's the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Mm-hmm. And you eat of that tree and it brings death. Because it brings the knowledge of evil.
Right. Yeah.
The whole issue with the forbidden tree is God's authority over man and the man's faith in God's goodness toward him. With nothing forbidden, there is no concept of right or wrong, mm-hmm. or good and evil. With nothing forbidden and no boundaries set, we would trample on the rights and property of others. Thus, morality requires that there be things forbidden.
Yes.
Why do we have to have rules? Rules are made to be broken. I hate rules. Well, there has to be rules.
Yes, sir.
As long as there were just one man in all the world, then, and he was by himself, he could live unto himself and not transgress against anybody else. It wouldn't matter what he did because there ain't nobody else here. But that's not the way the world is. And that was not the way the world was fixing to be. So all this preparation in Adam. But since there are others in the world, there has to be boundaries for our behavior. Remember, the whole creation is set up in opposing elements and principles. We've talked about that. We talked about this when we started talking about male and female. And without which, we wouldn't even be able to live life or survive. We couldn't navigate. We couldn't get through life if without the opposite poles. That's where we take our bearings from. Mm-hmm. Somebody said a while ago, why is the heat on? Well, I turned it on, turned the air conditioner on. Two opposite things. If you're hot, what do? You turn on the cool, right? If you're hot, you don't go over and turn on the heat. That's dumb. You don't understand things, but we do understand that, don't we? We know what we feel like when we're hot and we want cool. So that's the way we go to get it. North is north and south is south. And if you can't get your bearings on that, you're lost. I mean, you're just going to go around in circles. Ain't no telling where you end up. I can't imagine people living without a comprehension of where they're at and which direction is which. Yeah. Some of you like it and you know it. You might as well smile. Especially women. Most women, they're not concerned about that. It's not a part of their concern most of the time. Men should be more concerned about that.
Yes.
They used to be. It was a big deal. You had to know what was north and what was south and east and west. And it's funny to me how men used to travel this whole earth without anything to guide them except the stars. They could look at the sky and figure out which way to go. And now we can't get people to our house with GPS, telephones, directions, everything, and they still can't find our house. It's amazing. Something real lacking. I'm chasing rabbits. Get back on the message here. So, our reasoning is designed to choose between two things at a time and approve one or reject one or the other. In our mixed up world, everybody wants to agree with both sides of every issue, and that doesn't want to believe in moral absolutes. So we've just completely lost our way. There are moral absolutes, and God set them up right here in the second chapter of Genesis. It's the way God orders things. There's right and there is wrong. There is absolutely right and absolutely wrong. Mm-hmm. Somebody said that he didn't believe in absolutes. And somebody asked him, said, "Are you absolutely sure about that?" Mm-hmm. Well, you see, he's trapped. You can't think right without it. You can't comprehend anything right without it. A command by its very essence contains a license and an exception. Think about it. All licenses that are issued by men to other men grant a privilege with exceptions. Driving, hunting, fishing, business, cars, license, exceptions. You get me? By the way, this is what separation of church and state is about. You know, the people who founded this country meant for the government to stay out of the church, not the church stay out of the government. But because they understood this basic truth, that the right to worship and serve God is not given by the state, but by God. And the state, therefore, has no right to impose reserves or exceptions on it. That's why we used to have a First Amendment to the Constitution. There was freedom of religion. That meant no government interference. That's what it meant. It doesn't exist anymore. It's still on the books, but we don't pay any attention to the Constitution anymore. Or the courts. Or the law of the land. Adam was free to eat of all the trees of the garden but one. Most people focus on that. Isn't that something? Think of all the overwhelming benevolence of God. And then accuse him of injustice by putting one tree in the garden that man couldn't eat from. Of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat. How big you reckon the garden was? An acre or two? No. It was unlimited for two people. It was paradise. It was heaven on earth. Think about it. And the only thing there was one single tree in that whole world of blessings and plenty that God said, now that one, just leave that one alone. Don't eat of it. It'll kill you. So, life was complete and full and good with that one, without that one tree. Everything else was given to Adam to do with as he pleased. Just one exception. Isn't that the way people are? They have it all, and yet they're not satisfied. They want that one thing that's forbidden. Why is it that the forbidden draws men to it? Because the devil's there saying, come over here. Look at this tree. Look at this fruit. That's why. That's what happened here. The serpent, more subtle than any beast of the field. If Adam's going to live with others like himself, then any rights given to him must be given with a reserve to protect the rights of others. Adam's got to learn that he's not the center of the universe, in spite of his exalted status as head of the race and ruler of the world. He's still not the center of the universe. I hope you're thinking with me and getting a hold of this. He's got to be made to realize concern for the rights and welfare of others, both those superior to him and those inferior to him, before he's ready to live with someone his equal. You think Adam treated the animals right? I do. A righteous man regardeth the life of his beast. Anybody that treats animals bad will treat people bad.
That's right. Yes.
You can just mark that down. If you can be mean and cruel to an animal, you can be mean and cruel to another person.
Yes.
And you will.
That's
you have no regard for another life, another person, another creature, and it's suffering. I think it's very wrong to hem up animals and not take care of them.
Yes.
I mean, if you're going to tie them up, if you're going to put them in a pen, then feed them. Make sure they got water, and food, and what they need to live. Don't let them suffer.
Right.
How do you feel about people? We read it in the news all the time. Why do people do that with their children? I mean, people, they find children all the time. Locked up in a basement or in a bedroom, chained to a bed, starving to death. I mean, down to nothing.
Yeah.
Chain them up and don't feed them. Insane, wicked people.
Yes, sir.
They're immoral people. A lot of those people are religious people.
Yeah.
Naturally, the devil will bring that in. That boy, that's the double barrel shotgun he's got. He makes everybody look bad. Brings a black mark on all religion because these people are religious and say they're Christians and look what they did. All other creatures are not there simply to serve Adam and for him to take advantage of and use at his pleasure. That's what God has laid out here before Adam, before there's a wife. No man's ready for a companion until he's more concerned about pleasing God and others than himself. And that goes for nowadays, any young man or old man or any other man that desires a wife, he's not ready for a wife until he can get along with other people.
Yes.
Until he can treat everybody right and treat animals right and have some compassion and pity and love.
Yes.
To give, he don't need a wife.
Absolutely.
He's not ready for one. The tree was merely the thing reserved to mark boundaries and cause Adam to recognize God's rights in preparation for recognizing the rights of another like himself. If he won't regard God, he's not going to regard another person. If he won't treat God with honor, he won't treat another person with honor, even though she's made of him. There was nothing about that tree that was poison in its or magical. And we have no reason to believe that some physical element of the fruit of that tree introduced sin into the world. It was not a poison fruit. It was good for food, pleasant to the eyes, and to be desired to make one wise. Now, that's what Eve had come to conclude by looking at it and listening to what the devil told her about it. The sin was in disobeying God, and that's where they obtained the knowledge of evil, experimental knowledge of disregarding God's clear command. That's the knowledge of evil. They didn't know what it was like. They didn't know what would happen, really, experimentally, when they disobeyed God, right, until they did that. Yep. Then they knew. Then they knew what it was like to have God's wrath, to be driven from the garden, to be ashamed because they were naked. Wasn't what the devil promised, but that's what they got. Mm-hmm. They obtained the knowledge of evil. What of trouble, of sorrow. It introduced sorrow into the world, into life. Life is full of sorrow because of sin. So, the shallow-minded infidel argues that God did evil in placing the tree in the garden to tempt man. So even if there had been no tree that was forbidden, because Adam was a moral being, he's going to have to live with other people. See, it requires a moral being, a moral understanding, and a moral law. He would still have had to acknowledge the rights and authority of God. If God had not put that tree in the garden and forbidden Adam to eat of it, Adam still would have had to face the possibility and the consequences of disobedience. Adam was made to have dominion with his wife over all the earth. But before he's qualified to be a just overseer, he has to have a proper sense of right and wrong and his place, a proper sense of his place in God's order. So, without a moral sense, he would be on the same level of existence as the animals. Animals are not moral creatures. No. They don't understand right and wrong. How do they treat one another? Generally, as animals, how do they treat one another? It's what's the old saying? Dog eat dog. Yes. That's the way the world is, isn't it? That's the way the animal world is. You can look up in the sky and the birds are fighting with each other. You can look down to the under the leaves of the ground and the ants and the bugs are killing each other and carrying everybody out, you know, carrying each other off. They're raiding each other's colonies and fighting, and there's warfare everywhere. Morality is about recognizing the rights of others, or doing unto others as you would have them do unto you. Like Jesus said in Luke chapter 6 and verse 31, this is what they call the golden rule. Jesus said, as you would that men should do to you, do ye also to them likewise. In other words, since man is a moral being, there must be commands given to mark out the rights of all creatures, including his own. Though these words of Jesus prove that the moral law of God is written in the hearts of all men. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. So, in other words, you know when you have been done wrong. So, that means that you also know when you're doing somebody else wrong. You just got a little devil on your shoulder and says, you're right, you're right, you're right, you got it right, you got it right. You're in the right. Two wrongs don't make a right. The words of Jesus prove that the moral law of God is written in the hearts of all men. We know what's right and wrong simply by how our own heart would respond if we were on the receiving end. A thief will steal from you. But boy, he chafes when somebody steals from him. Yeah. He'll steal from you and say it's justified because he's got more than I do. You know, the thieves always think that way. They justify their stealing because, well, they got plenty. They can afford to lose some of it. Ain't going to hurt them. They got more than they need. They'll take your stuff. Mm-hmm. But boy, if you take their stuff, somebody takes their stuff. Oh, the dirty thief. Dirty stealing thief stole from me. There's an old saying, there's no honor among thieves. So the command concerning the trees of the garden shows that our rights are granted by and derived from God, not inherited simply because we're born. By understanding these things, being submitted to God, there arose in Adam's living soul a sense of responsibility, of right and wrong, and of duty. And I know I've said a lot here, but I hope you're understanding what I'm trying to get at here. Adam, God prepared Adam for Eve before he gave her to him. Before he made her, God prepared Adam's heart, his mind, everything about him, so that he would be prepared. When she came to him, he'd know how to treat her. He'd know how to live together with her in love and peace and joy. It was a wonderful thing, not a burden. Here, Adam, here's another one for you to take care of. See what you can do with this one. I mean, she's hard to handle. Got a mind of her own. I don't know what you're going to do, but do your best. That's not how it was.
No.
Not at all. Now, sin has made this world to where it's kind of like that. But it's sin. And sin is the defiance, the violation of all the law, the moral law that God has set out, written in your heart. How can you get along? Have more concern, be more attentive to the needs, to the problems, to the happiness of the other instead of your own. Don't be selfish.
Right.
Selfishness is the opposite of this. Can't be selfish, Adam. I'm giving you a helpmeet, not for you to be selfish, but to help you and to give you somebody to love, somebody to show, that somebody to give to. Somebody to give yourself to. Somebody to sacrifice for. To give of yourself. It's more blessed to give than to receive. Adam, here's you somebody to give to. Here's you somebody that'll love you back. Somebody that'll do the same for you as what I'm teaching you to do for them. Without all this that he went through, the Bible is perfect. And the Bible gives us just what we need to know. And the Bible gave us all this information here about what God did, the process he went through. This is not just thrown in there to make a good story, make a better drama, make a better entertainment for us. No, it's the facts of how God created man, male and female, and how he put them together. And the reason behind it all. By understanding these things and being submitted to God, Adam has this sense of responsibility. He understood God's order and plan for life to have peace and harmony and joy. Now the man's got to be, the man first must have these qualities before he can live in harmony with another like himself. So a man needs to learn that. A young man needs to be taught that. He needs to learn that before he gets married.
Yes, that's true.
If you can't get along with other people, don't get married because you ain't going to get along with her either.
Yeah, that's true.
And if she can't get along with nobody, then you better not marry her either, even if you can.
Right. Yeah.
How many times have you heard this advice? You know, young man, watch her mother. Because she is going to be like her mother. How many young men take that advice?
Not very many.
Watch her brothers.
Yep.
Watch her dad. See how that family operates. See how she gets along with people. See how he gets along with people. I don't know why that a woman who had any sense would marry some guy that won't get along with nobody. Because their life is going to be miserable. How does she think that he's going to get along with her just fine when he don't get along with anybody else? It ain't going to happen.
No.
You know,
no.
Darling girl, it just ain't going to happen. Mm-hmm. You're going to find out. You're just the next one in line.
Yep.
God ain't going to let that be that way here. He's in wisdom preparing Adam before he brings this woman to him. Before he can have a wife to love, fellowship, commune with, and live intimately with, he must be the kind of being that desires to love and do good to others without putting his own selfish interests before theirs. We talked last week about love, fellowship, communion, intimacy. It's not going to happen between selfish people. It's going to happen only between people who give themselves to each other, who put the other ahead of themselves. You know, I mean, there's a lot of scripture that back that up. In the New Testament, it talks about the man's body is not his, but hers. And her body is not hers, but his. When you're married, that's the way it is. It's not mine. And you got yours and I got mine. And anything, you know. I believe when we got married, I think I said something like this: with all my worldly goods I thee endow. Well, didn't have much then, ain't got much now. But whatever I got, it's hers too. It ain't just mine. I can't push her aside and say, that's mine. She can't say, that's mine. I worked for that and it ain't yours. I paid for that. That's mine.
Yeah.
You know. We're living in a time that's different now.
Yeah.
She got her checking account. He's got his checking account. She's got her job. He's got his job. She got her money. He's got his money. I can't understand that. It's ours. It's ours. We're one. Can't be that way. Thus, the entire moral law of God is reduced to two simple truths by Jesus Christ. When he said this, Jesus said unto him, I don't know how in the world the thing got messed up like that, but this is what Jesus said. Jesus said unto him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. All right, now that's where Adam was before God made Eve. And then the second commandment says this. This is the first. Well, let me see. He went on and said, this is the first and great commandment, Jesus said. And the second is likened to it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. So you understand from that what we're talking about here back in Genesis? As long as there's one person, that's all there is. You don't need that second commandment. But all the law and the commandments hung on this. First you love God with everything you got, your whole being. And then you love your neighbor as yourself. There's no need beyond that for stacks of law books and rules and codes to tell us how to live and what's right and what's wrong and all that. Right there is all you need to know how to get along with one another and not trespass against one another. This is what God taught Adam before he made a woman to be his companion. And this is still the only preparation that'll bring peace and harmony to marriage and homes and churches and nations. Consider one another. That's how you get along. That's how God means for it to be. What's wrong with churches that fight with one another? Families that fight with one another? Shouldn't be that way. what's going to happen if Adam and Eve get married here and they just fight and fuss and quarrel with each other and struggle against one another and they have kids and they do that in front of the kids and then the kids grow up and what kind of world are we going to have? Look out the windows. It's the kind of world we got. Because that's the way everybody does it. They get married, two selfish people get married. And it's a fight to the death over each one having their way. And staying mad at one another over the transgressions done to each other. And they fight until their kids grow up and leave in front of them. And the kids don't even know what it's like. Don't even have any clue what God meant for it to be. What for He meant for it to be like. You need to be prepared before you have a helpmeet. Women need to be prepared before they become a helpmeet. Sure do. How you get prepared? Very simple. Well, you just talked all about it. You got to learn how to not trample on other people's.
Yes.
Yeah. Yep. Not to hurt other people. Amen. Father, thank you for the Word of God. Pray you'd bless it to hearts and minds. Simple message. Done a lot of talking to say the very most simple, straightforward things. I pray you'd help us to understand these, not only, and not just put them in our pocket like a piece of paper we just got, but help us and forget it, but help us to remember these things, apply them in our lives. I pray that we could be what we need to be, the way you designed us to be. Lord, we'd have joy in our own lives and homes, and that we would, that it would spread to others, and that our children would see what it's like to honor one another and to love one another and to treat each other the way you meant for us to. Jesus died for us. He made the atonement for our sin. And we claim that tonight as our salvation. And Lord, you've done all that needs to be done. And you made provision for everything to be restored to the way you intended it to be in the first place in the creation. So, Lord, we're without excuse here tonight if we are not living in the joy and peace and communion and fellowship in our homes like you meant it to be. Help us, Lord, to correct the problems that need to be corrected in our homes, in our lives, with other people, and help us to walk circumspectly and be right with you and right with our fellow man in Jesus' name. Amen.